Well, this morning, as I was working on this message, I was actually doing some of it this morning, but I was thinking about Legos. Anybody ever stepped on a Lego? That's not what this sermon's about, but it's just awful. I just wanted to throw that out there. Some of you guys are going to be thinking about that, how awful it is, so just get rid of that. But Legos, I remember as a kid playing with Legos. Now, we were poor, okay? Now, some of you may be like, we were poorer, okay? But we were poor. I didn't get the fancy sets, right? I didn't get these 3,000-piece sets that, you know, your mom and dad had to take out a second mortgage on the house to be able to buy. If you tried to buy a Lego set recently, they're absurd, okay? But I remember playing with these Legos, and I remember at one point having this box of random Legos. Anybody else ever have that random box of stuff? Now, for me, I'm not super creative, okay? I'm just not that good. My mind doesn't work like that, but I am good at following instructions. So if I could get one of those that, you know, it gives you a couple hundred pieces and it tells you step by step, do this, then do this, then do this. I found as an adult, I'm not as good at that. Me and Rocky were putting together a nightstand the other day, and first he messed up when he was reading the instructions and had a piece backwards, but it wasn't a really big deal because he just moved it around. Then I started reading the instructions, and I put like three pieces backwards and put the whole thing together to realize that it was backwards. I realize I'm not near as good at that, at adult Legos, okay? But as kid Legos, I was pretty good at following instructions. And I remember these ones with the steps, right? You start to put it together, and at first you're like, what in the world am I making? Like, what piece of that jet, you know, could this possibly be? It doesn't look like anything that even goes in here. And as you go along step by step, you eventually begin to start to see how it's taking form. And, oh, I can see where this is going. Now, I realize that I had to build that to be able to build onto it to ultimately get this finished product. You can begin to see it taking form, and then you see it finished. Now, I was the kid that if I had one of those, I needed to save those instructions. Because if it ever got destroyed, and you know you had that one friend who was going to come over and destroy it, he wanted to take it apart, you'd be like, I bet I could rebuild this thing. And you're like, no, don't touch it. That took me like 7 days to put together, right? But I would save the instructions because I knew I would need them if it was going to be up to me to rebuild it. I had other friends who were good at taking that box of just random stuff, and they could build something that I couldn't even build with instructions. I'm like, how does your brain even work like that? How did you even think to put that stuff together to make that kind of thing? They could make something cool. You know what I could make? A bigger block. I could put enough Legos together, enough small blocks to make a large block and be like, look at what I made. And they're like, wow, Tim, like, congratulations. You made a bigger version of a Lego. But these people would know how to do it. They would just kind of think about this, and they would just tear it apart and start building something else. And it always amazed me when people could do those kinds of things. But when you step back and you take a evaluation of your life, when you think about the things that you're doing throughout your life, do you realize that you are always building something? You're always at work building something in your life. In fact, you're probably building many things in many different areas. You got many different projects going on. You're building a career, right? You're building a family. You're building a reputation. You're building relationships. You're building a legacy. You're building all these different things in our lives that we are just constantly working, constantly building. And a lot of those things that I just mentioned, we would view as good things, right? Those aren't bad things to have in our lives if you're building them, if you're working on these good things. But this morning, what I want to talk to you about is being careful that we don't build those good things in our life into the form of idols. Last week, we started out by talking about when God gives you those instead moments. And continuing on, this is going to be a series called Instead, and we're going to look at some alternatives to the things that we do, the things that are natural to do, the things that we want to do, and what should we possibly do instead. And so today, we're going to look at building altars instead of idols. So we'll be starting out in Exodus chapter 20, verse 22. The Lord told Moses, he said, "This is what you are to say to the Israelites. Have you seen that I have spoken to you from heaven? Do not make gods of silver to rival me. Do not make gods of gold for yourselves, but make an earthen altar for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your flocks and your herds, and I will come to you and I will bless you in every place where I cause my name to be remembered." He says, do not make gods or idols. Do make altars. Church, this isn't a suggestion from God. These are commands. He says, don't build idols. Do build altars. They're for your good. And God knows exactly what our tendencies are. He knows exactly what our sin nature is going to do if it is left up to us. And God wants you, for your good, to build altars instead of idols. And I'm afraid when we hear that, if you're familiar with the Old Testament at all, if you've been in church for a long time, you hear this word idols, we probably all go back to the same story. We probably all go back to this moment when Moses is up the mountain, he's talking to God, and the children of Israel are getting restless. Where is he? When is he coming back? And they talk to Aaron and they say, build us an idol, right? Build us an image of God. And so he takes all of their gold earrings. I don't know if you ever thought about that. It was made of gold earrings. That's a lot of earrings, all right? It was a few million people. Takes all their earrings and he forms it into the infamous golden calf, right? Many of you probably know this story. They build this golden calf in the image of God. And then I want to show you what he says in chapter 32. This is what God says to Moses, verse 7. It says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Go, get down, for your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, that you have brought out of the land of Egypt.'" When God says to Moses, go get down, right? Like, this is in a hurry. Get down there. Like, don't waste any time. This needs addressed. He says, they have turned away from my commandments, and they have corrupted themselves. See, they built this idol, and God, okay, nobody else, this isn't just drawing conclusions. God says they worshiped it, and they sacrificed to it. And for you and me, it's easy to recall this story, and we think about, well, I would have never done that, right? I would have been one of them standing in the corner like, uh-uh, you ain't getting my earrings. I paid too much for these, right? No, you might be thinking, I would be the one that would say, I'm not participating in this, building this golden calf. I'm waiting for Moses to come down. That might have been you, but it's easy to think like this. I would have never built it in the first place. I definitely wouldn't have worshipped it. I definitely wouldn't have sacrificed to it. But I'm going to tell you, when we, again, look at our lives today, when we consider what we have done, what we are building, what we are doing, what we are working toward, I want to tell you that there are times where we build something in the image of God, where we make it an idol, when we worship it and we even sacrifice to it. It's just not as obvious as building this golden calf. See, when they created it, they had said to Aaron, they said, come, make us gods that shall go before us. They said, come and make us something to worship. Come and make us something to believe in, something to follow, something to desire. And when you think about the fact that this is an idol, right? An idol, right? American Idol. That's probably the most famous way of using that term that most people would know. What's the whole purpose of the show? To become famous, right? To become idolized, to have people look up to you. That's what an idol is. It's something you admire, something you adore, or something that you are devoted to. But God also says, don't make these other gods. They said to Aaron, make us gods, right? These gods are the rulers, the judges, and it's synonymous with idols. A lot of times the things that are idols in our lives are the things that ultimately rule over us, that we let control our lives. Everything in our life, every single thing has the ability, the capability, the capacity to become an idol or a god to you. Everything. I'm telling you that you can't name something that I couldn't argue could become a god in your life, that could become an idol in your life. Everything. I'm talking about the things that we all have. Kids. You guys ever think about that? Your kids can become idols in your life. They become rulers. They become controlling, and it's not always their fault. It's usually our fault, right, that we let them run the show. But even things like our careers can become idols. That one might be a little more acceptable. Yeah, I can see that. I've seen people do that. Money can become an idol. Hobbies can become an idol. Friends can become idols. Sports definitely become idols, right? Cars, achievements, all these things that can be good or even great things in your life, if we're not careful, they can be built into idols. How do you know if you've built them into idols? We've got to go back to that first scripture in Exodus chapter 20, verse 23. He said, do not make gods of silver to rival me. Do not make something or build something up in your life that is going to be a rival to our God. What's a rival? It's something that is competing with something else for the same object or the same goal. One that tries to be equal or even outdo another. Everyone and everything in your life wants all of you. You ever realize that? You ever get to that point where you're like, listen, man, I don't have that much to give. But it's like everything in your life wants all of you. Everyone in your life wants all of you. And you're like, how do I possibly fit this puzzle together? Here's the key. It's up to you to choose how much of yourself you're willing to give to each one and each thing. And when you give too much of yourself to something or someone, and you put it ahead of Christ, ahead of God in your life, you have made that thing a rival to God. Now, God has to compete in your life for your time. Compete in your life for your heart. Compete in your life for your desire, for your thoughts, for all these things. You've made something in your life and built it up to the point that it competes with God. We do these things in the name of the American dream, right? I mean, it's why people come over to our land, is to live that kind of life where I can have everything I want and do anything I want. I found this definition for the American dream that I found accurate and troubling, okay? The American dream is the belief that anyone, regardless of where they were born or what class they were born into, can attain their own version of success. Whose version? Their own version of success in a society in which upward mobility is possible for everyone. It's great that it's possible for everyone, but it's believed to be achieved through sacrifice, risk-taking, and hard work rather than by chance. See, the American dream is all about building idols. It's all about doing things somehow, some way, to get your own version of success. Your own version of success. See, there's somebody that is left out of the equation in the American dream. The somebody who, without it, wouldn't have been possible for this nation to have been formed in the first place. That somebody is God, right? And he's left out of the equation when it comes to the American dream. I believe the American dream has a much greater chance of leading you away from Christ than it does leading you to Christ. I believe that with all my heart. The American dream has a much greater chance of leading you away from Christ than to Christ. See, Solomon, I love the story of Solomon because Solomon could have had anything he wanted. It was literally name it. Now, how many of you guys would love this opportunity if God were to visibly appear and audibly say, what do you want? Because you got it. Whatever it is, name it and you can have it. You know, probably about 99.9% of Americans would be like, I'll take all the money in the world, right? Or, you know, unlimited amount of money, whatever that is. Why? Because that's how you fulfill the American dream. If there's no limits on what you can purchase and what you can get, then according to the American dream, you pretty much have it all. Now, some of you might say you would choose for somebody to be brought back who had passed, or you might choose healing for somebody who's suffering. Those of you who are you know, more sympathetic, most people just be like, give me the money, right? Show me the money. But when we think about Solomon, I love that Solomon did not ask for riches. He did not ask for fame. He asked for wisdom. And in particular, he asked for wisdom in leading God's people. It wasn't just, I want to be the smartest guy, because listen, that's a pretty good option too. If I'm the smartest guy in the world, I probably can go make all that money that somebody else is asking for. But Solomon didn't just want to be wise, he wanted to be wise in leading God's people. God, how do I, listen, this is the whole thing that he's asking, how do I do what you created me to do in the best way possible? You give me the wisdom. You lead me. You tell me what I need to know. Show me, lead me to lead your people. And the thing is that Solomon got that, and then he also got all that other stuff that everybody else would have asked for. He got all the money. He got all the fame. He got all the notoriety. And guess where it led him? Sin. Right? That stuff ended up leading him down the wrong path. But he did get those things as a reward because of what he had asked for. Matthew 6:33 tells us, but seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. What, God, what do you want for me? What do you have planned for my life? If you can ask God that first, if you can live for Jesus first, above every other thing, listen, he will provide every other thing that you need out of that relationship with him. Out of that relationship with him, right? Some of you like to claim some promises of God, like he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, right? Well, that's great. But the only way you have access to that cattle on 1,000 hills is through Jesus, right? It ain't just like, I'm just going to claim that promise and God will just pour out blessing. No, Jesus is the key to the blessing. He's the way to the blessing. And so if you put him first, then he will provide those things for you. God goes on to tell him, he says, not only should you not build these idols that are a rival to me, but he tells him, do not make gods of gold for yourselves. Do not make idols or gods that are for yourselves. What does this mean? I mean, Jesus is Lord, amen? We agree with that, we believe that. He's the only one who died for your sin, amen? The only one, okay? He's the only one who rose from the dead, comma, right? Because we have some other examples, like Lazarus. He's the only one who rose from the dead to never die again and offer you new life, amen? Okay, so the Bible is true. You guys believe that? Well, in John, he says that the Word was God. The Word is God, right? The Word is God. Any version of God, any version of Jesus, any version of the Holy Spirit that does not line up with the Bible, what the Word of God says, guess what that is? That's a God you have built for yourself. This is the problem with American Christianity, is that too many people, but also churches, have built a God for themselves, right? Not a God that is true, that is holy, but one that's for themselves. It's a version, right, of God. But I'm going to tell you, there's other religions that have a version of God that they might say, we believe the same thing. No, we do not. Not unless you believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except by him. Not unless you believe that I am only saved by the precious blood of Christ, that he made the atonement. If you believe in those things, then yeah, we might be on the same page. But if you don't, if you have a version of God, one that you have made for yourself, we don't believe the same thing. Now, there's people that may even believe that part, the part that is essential to salvation. Maybe they are saved, but they're living their life in a way that they are forming a God in their own image. Well, but the Bible says this, but that's outdated. Hogwash. It's not outdated. There ain't nothing in there that's outdated. Zero. It's all relevant to today. I mean, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I've been preaching almost exclusively out of the Old Testament for like the last month and a half. And these things have been relevant to our lives, haven't they? I hope so. It's still relevant. It's still accurate because it's still truth. And it's still Christ because he is the Word. Listen, when we make this God for ourselves, that's an idol. God says, don't do that. Don't make a God in some other image. Don't make a God for yourselves. Idolatry is sin. It's a big sin. Some of you are already like, Pastor, all sin is the same. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe it's true. First of all, sexual sin is a sin that's not just against God, but it's also against yourself. Okay, so there is something different about it than the other. I believe that idolatry is a big sin. All right, I'm not going to tell you that, you know, that one necessarily leads to different consequences. I'm just saying that idolatry is this kind of sin that is troubling because it can lead you to a false God who has no ability to save, no ability to deliver, no ability to heal, no ability to restore. There's a reason that Paul and John both wrote a warning about idols. 1 John 5:21 says, "Little children, guard yourselves from idols." He said, you've got to protect your heart, protect your life from idols. Why would he tell that to believers? Why would he tell that to Christians? He says, guard yourselves from these things because they are so damaging, so troubling. They will lead you down to the path of destruction. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:14, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from adultery." Flee from it. Run. If there's adult idolatry in your life, you got to run from it. They tell us to keep an eye on idolatry, but then also to run from idolatry when you see it. So what do we do? How do we keep in our lives from making these good things that are supposed to be a blessing in our life into idols? We have to build altars instead of idols. We have to build altars instead of idols. We got to be careful what we're making, church. God said, make an earthen altar for me. He said, sacrifice on that altar your burnt offerings, your fellowship offerings, your flocks, your herds. I will come to you and bless you in every place where I cause my name to be remembered. Build an altar. What is an altar? An altar is simply a place where sacrifices are made. When we rebuilt this stage, there's a reason. Some of you might think that, you know, we didn't need this much space up here. There's a reason why this is so flat and so long at the same height. Because we wanted to rebuild an altar. We wanted to rebuild a place where you can come down and get on your knees and give some things up to God. Sacrifice some things. Turn some things loose. Surrender some things in your life because that's what takes place at an altar. It's a place where sacrifice is made. This is a place where something's offered, something's surrendered, something is given up. God said, if you will build these altars in your life, if you will build this place to sacrifice and give up and surrender, he says, if you do, right? It's conditional. There's something that will happen if you build the altars in your life. It says, I will come to you and bless you in every place where I cause my name to be remembered. Church, there's nothing in your life that if you don't give it up for God, that he won't bless you. If you give something up, you surrender something to the Lord, you say, Lord, it's all yours, have your way, I trust in you, he will bless you for it. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. It's a truth from the Word of God, but we've got to be willing to surrender all that we have to the Lord for his purpose, not just once. That's where the hang-up's at. We're like, we've all done that once, right? If you're a believer, you think, I already did that once. No, we've got to do it every minute of every day. Everything, all that we are, all that we have, we've got to be willing to give it up to the Lord at all times. See, in this day when this command was written to the people of Israel, when they would make idols back then, they would believe that the deity or the God was present in that image. Some of you are like, why in the world would they make that golden calf? It doesn't even make sense. They would believe that the presence of God, whatever their God was in that image. Now, some of you think that's crazy. It's crazy to believe that God, Moses is up there talking to God. Why would they believe that God is in that golden calf? I would never do something like that. But I'll tell you that today, people still do this, sometimes with physical objects, that they believe this object will give them some kind of power, some kind of ability, some kind of protection. You see this with statues of saints. You see this with dream catchers, right? You see this with all kinds of different spiritual things, right? That they believe there's some kind of power in those things. Now, some of you might be like, well, I don't do any of that either, Pastor. Well, praise God. Good for you. But here's the thing. We also do this when we make idols out of our kids and our jobs and our hobbies. You may not think that Jesus is physically in it, but I'm just going to follow me. If you're lost, just follow me down the road for a second. There's a lot of times where we're like, I'm sold out and I give everything I have to this because I believe God is in it. Right? You believe that God is in it. You believe that he's involved in it, that he's given the ability, he's made it possible. He's the one that opened the door. He's the one that gave you this thing, so he's in it. Okay, and that may be true, that God is in it, that God gave you the ability or the possibility to do whatever this thing is that you're doing. He may be in it, but just because he's in it, don't you think for a second that you can't still make it an idol? God could be in something. He could open the door for something. He could give you the ability to do something. He could be in it. It could even be his desire and his plan for your life, but you can still overcommit yourself to it to the point that it becomes an idol in your life. He made it possible. That doesn't mean that he made it to be your God. He's still God. See, this is possible when we see people who worship the creation over the creator, right? It's the same kind of thing. It's the same path that's going on here. God, yes, gave you the ability to have those kids. He creates life. He's the one that blessed you with them. But listen, not as a replacement for himself. He didn't give you those kids to be a replacement for yourself or for himself. In fact, he gave you those kids for you to be a steward in order for you to lead them to him. So that when they grow up, that they can serve him and follow him, and they can raise kids as a steward for him, lead them to him, to live a life, to follow him, and the cycle repeats and repeats and repeats. You want to know where the breakdown is in America right now? Our kids are our idols instead of our altars. That's where the breakdown's at. You want to see what is wrong with this generation? How can people believe the things that they believe to us who are alive in the spirit? It seems like insanity. But it's not insanity. It's idolatry when it should have been sacrifice. It's idolatry when it should have been altars. See, church, that's where the breakdown is, when we turn something good into an idol instead of an altar. See, our kids aren't supposed to be our first priority in life. It's still supposed to be our relationship with Jesus Christ. It still is. It doesn't mean you have to neglect your kids. It just means learn the pecking order and teach them what that order is. Church, that's your responsibility. It's my responsibility to teach our kids what that priority order ought to look like. Amen? It really is. God may have opened the door for you for your career, for your job. Listen, I fully, with all my heart, I've told you, many of you, this story over and over. I fully, with all my heart, believe that God opened the door for me to work at Q&S when I worked there. And I thought that was the end-all, be-all. I thought this is the job, this is where I'm going to spend the rest of my career because I'm in management and I'm making a lot of money and I basically do whatever I want. For what I felt like at the time, God was causing me to do something insane whenever he told me to quit and to leave and to come pastor a church. Now listen, this is not kudos to me. All I did was say yes to the crazy thing that God called me to do. But I'm just telling you that I thought that that job was what I was living for. I thought that that paycheck was what I was living for, but all it was, church, was a training ground. All it was a time of preparation of certain people being in my life and certain responsibilities being put in my life to train me and teach me and mold me and shape me to be able to do what God had for me next. See, but it could have been real easy to just said, no, this is my idol. I will never give this up. But God gave me and my wife a revelation that it was a temporary thing and that this was what was next in the plan. See, God can give you your career, but if you work 24/7, and I was basically doing that at one point, I've been there. Listen, when I preach something, I'm never really preaching at you anything that God hasn't already preached in my own heart. I've done that, but when you're working 24/7 to build up something that is going to burn one day, listen, it's going to burn one day. You need to have an understanding of this. That all the things that we try to build up in life, there is a time where this earth will be purged with fire, right? Things will be burnt up. If it's not eternal, you ain't going to get to keep it. And those are the things that we work so hard to build up. If you work so hard to just build up these things that are going to burn one day, you need to understand, right, that really if he's provided that job for you, it's a provision, it's an avenue for you to be able to serve him in your work, but also in your life. It's just a vehicle. It's just an avenue. It's just a way to do the things that God has created you to do. So you may have these things, these hobbies, these things that you love to do. And you may be like, God is the one that blessed me with the passion for this and with the ability for this and with the resources for this. Yes, he may have, and that's great because I do believe God also wants us to enjoy our lives. But let me tell you this morning that he did not give you those things so that they could become an obsession and that they could become the desire of your heart. He didn't give them for you to be obsessed about. He wants you to be obsessed with him. He wants you to desire him. He wants you to belong to him. So see, church, instead of letting God use these gifts in our lives to be able to bless others and to share his heart and to share the gospel, oftentimes they come down to what we want, about our own agenda. They become idols, and idols are built when the flesh takes over and we make no room for God. We talked about this Wednesday morning at the Bible study about how the Spirit of God, how he speaks to the inner man. Why does he need to speak to the inner man? Because the inner man is the flesh, and the flesh is a liar. The flesh is a deceiver. It's going to cause you to do what you feel, what you want, what you think, according to the soul instead of according to the Spirit. The Spirit needs to influence that inner man. Otherwise, you will build things in your life up to be idols. We've got to be willing to offer these things up to the Lord, to build them into altars. God, I sacrifice these things. It just means I offer them up to you, right? I surrender them to you. Will you show me how to use these things well, how to be a good parent, how to be a good employee, how to be a good, you know, at whatever the things are that I like to do, but do those while still putting you first. Church, do you know that's possible? It's possible to put God first and still do all the rest of the things in our lives that he's created us to do. This is the difference between idols and altars, is who is being elevated. See, when we elevate these things in our lives, we build idols. When we elevate Christ in those things, we build altars. One of these things is led by our own wisdom. The other one is led by the guiding of the Spirit of the living God. God said to build an altar and then to sacrifice on it. Why would he say this sacrifice? Well, they were obviously physically sacrificing animals, but what does that mean to us? Well, see, sacrifice is the center around which all worship revolves. Sacrifice, that's where true worship is at. Sacrifice, surrender, giving it up, giving it all to our God. This is where sacrifice takes us. It's to that place of worship. We've got to sacrifice. Not sacrifice too much for our idols, not sacrifice too much for our kids, for our jobs, for our hobbies. And again, I'm not picking on these three things. It's just the three main things that lead Americans away from God. But we've got to sacrifice. We've got to offer something valuable as our token of gratitude toward God. Listen, they may give up something that they like, right? You may have to do that in your life. You may have to give up something that you like. You may have to give up something that you want. You may have to give up something of worth. But you do this because you know at the end of the day that none of those things compare to the relationship that we have with Jesus. Amen? Because without him, what do we really have? What real peace can those things bring us? What real joy can those things bring us? What real fulfillment can those things bring us? Because don't we just want more and newer and faster and better? Isn't that a desire that maybe is built in us, that to just want more of God, more of his Spirit, more of his presence? And here we are substituting that for the things that we've built into idols. Psalm 115, this will be my closing verse wherever Jason's at, but 115 verse 3 through 8 says, "But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases, but their idols are silver and gold. They are the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. Ears they have, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they don't handle. They have feet, but they don't walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. And those who make them are like them, and so is everyone who trusts in them." What is he laying out here? He's saying that our God is in heaven. Our God is in heaven, and he does what he pleases. He's alive. He's in control. He's doing great things. But all of those who build their lives around idols will end up just like them. Can't see, can't hear, can't speak, can't walk, can't use their hands. What does that mean? Worthless. Can't do anything of value in the spiritual sense. Can't do anything of value for that God who is in heaven, who does as he pleases. That if we live our lives devoted to idols, we will end up just like them. If we trust in them, we'll end up with nothing. If we trust in God, we'll end up with everything. Amen? You guys stand with me. An idol is anything we build for ourselves, while an altar is anything that we build for God. An idol is a substitute that we make for God, but with an altar we sacrifice for God. And so this morning I want to take an evaluation each one of us of our lives. What is it that I'm building in my life? You can consider all the pieces, all the things that you've got going on, but I want you to consider this morning, what are the things that you're trying to build in your life? Because we need to be building altars instead of idols. We need today to guard ourselves from those idols, protect ourselves from those idols, and we need to run from those idols. We need to flee from those things and offer them up to God this morning. This is a time for surrender, church. This is a time for sacrifice. This is a time for, Lord, truly, here I am. All that I am is yours. All that I have is yours. I want you. I want you in all of these areas of my life. It's not about building them up or building me up. It's about building up Jesus Christ, the living God. And so if you would bow with me, let's just go to the Lord. That Father, we thank you and praise you for your word today. God, we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are a God of grace. You are a God of compassion. You are a God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances, whatever it is that we need in our lives. God, you continue to have your arms open. You continue to welcome us home. You continue to pursue us. God, you continue to speak to us. And we just pray right now, Holy Spirit, first of all, I just rebuke the condemnation of the enemy in the name of Jesus. God, that no one would just feel bad about their lives because they have possibly built some idols. But Lord, I pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because when there's the conviction of the Spirit, God, when you are at work, it doesn't make us feel bad about what we've done, but it shows us the way out. It shows us the steps forward, and those steps begin with surrender. And so right now, for those who maybe need to surrender their kids to you today, they need to come and they need to say, Lord, I have let my kids be gods in my lives, and today I choose that you are God. You're the one that dictates my schedule. You're the one that dictates my priorities and my agenda. Lord, I pray that those people would come, that they would find peace in you today, God. God, I pray for those who have made their jobs their gods. Lord, that today would be that moment they would come forward and say, God, I don't know what I've been living for, because if it's just to pile up money in the bank, Lord, I know that one day I'm going to lose it all. It could be tomorrow. But God, right now I surrender to you. And I say, Lord, that you have blessed me with a good job. And today I will use it for your glory. God, I will use it and those finances you give me to be a blessing, to be a giver. God, to do the work that you've created me to do, as well as to provide for my family. And God, I pray for those that maybe are stuck in that cycle of their hobbies, of sports, or whatever it is being their God. That today that they would see it as a thing that maybe you have gifted them in for a reason. And God, that you would show them that it's not to be an obsession. And God, that you would break free that obsession right here in the name of Jesus. God, they could still have a passion for it. They could still want to do it, but it wouldn't be the thing that their lives revolve around, but that their lives would revolve around you and you alone. And so God, we just pray right now for you to speak to our hearts. Draw us close to you as we worship you, Lord. We believe that you are good, that you want good for us in anything that you ask us to give up. God, anything we got to sacrifice, we believe you'll be faithful to your word. And just as you told the Israelites, that you will come and you will meet us at that place of sacrifice, and you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing everywhere that you cause your name to be remembered. Let your name be remembered in every area of our lives, beginning right here and right now. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.